copies of the spiritual survey. Some people ask me about Don. There's Don. Don is going to be right here on the front row, okay? So therefore, if you'd like to get a copy of taking the spiritual survey, it'll be right there waiting on you. You know what? This is a very special day. It's a special day because we're preparing for the 40 days of community. I couldn't help but love my brother Jim. It's not community service. But it may be, in a way, it is community service. When I think of community service, I see those guys picking up trash on the side of the road. But you know what? There is something to that. Because very much of what we do is going to be similar. It's going to be a servant's heart. 40 days of community is the opportunity for many of you to join together and get to know some people in a depth that you've never, that maybe you don't know. And also it's an opportunity for you to have somebody in your camp that if something goes down, you've got somebody to pick you up. You get to learn some folks in a very special way. So I do want to encourage you, next Sunday morning, it'll be our kickoff time in which we'll go. And then from that point forward, we're all going to start in our spiritual journey, our daily devotion for 40 days. And then we will start in our small groups for 40 days. And we have many people who've already signed up. Some who haven't. And therefore, I know Flora and I were waiting. And well, we're going to sign up with Brother Walter's class. And so therefore, that's where we'll be going. And I know that you will want to be a part of getting to know somebody. This is on the front end of something. And it's something that is big. And it goes back to a time in which Jesus was talking to some disciples. And as he was talking to his disciples, he told them about the cross. He told them that he had to die. And these guys really didn't want to hear that, but the fact about the matter that it was. So when he began to tell them that he was going to die, something else started happening. He started speaking, and he sent out 70 people. 70 people. And so today's message has 70 points. And the next question is, who brought lunch? Okay, but we've got 70 reasons that we're going to join the community. Now, you're going to find this in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 20 is where you're going to find this. And so therefore, maybe if we look at these 70 reasons right here why we want to join in with community, maybe that's a good place to start. In Luke chapter 10, and we're going to pick it up with verse 1. And the scripture says, "And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also." 70 others also, meaning He had already appointed His 12 apostles. And these guys are going to go out and they're going to get the job done. And so therefore, He appointed 70 others to move and to make this thing happen. And He sent them out two by two. Can you imagine now? Why does He do two by two? Two by two. I always look at it like this. You can do almost anything if you got a buddy. You know, I mean, you can almost go anywhere as long as you got somebody with you. There's strength to be found in numbers. So in capturing this, you get two young people. Two young people will work hard. Two by two. And so therefore, what He did, He sent them out and He sent them to every city. Now, there was a certain urgency inside of this because in verse 2 it says, "Then He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." What's great? What is great? The harvest. Now, do we really believe this? Do you think that fruit is ready? I mean, it's ready for picking. What do you think? Is it all ready? It's ready. But we need somebody to go pick it, don't we, Miss Becky? That's what it is. We have to have people. But if you also recognize something very special about this, whose harvest is it? It's the Lord's harvest. So the most amazing thing that we begin to kick in right here, we see it's not my harvest, it's His harvest. But what He wants us to do is to pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth people out there to start reaping of the harvest. So he says, pray, pray, pray. Now, if you really believe that it's ready, then you got something to pray about. If you think it's somebody else's job to do it, then your prayer life is probably going to be languid. Y'all know the difference between major surgery and minor surgery with tonsillectomies? If it was Jordan, it would be, and your name was Scott, it would be what? Major surgery. If it's Jordan and it's not your kid, it is
minor surgery.
Minor surgery. What can I say? That's really the way it is. I mean, they do it all the time. But it's major. You see, this is what happened, is what we're talking about here. When you see that the harvest is part of your life, that's big. When you want the harvest to be in your church, that's big. And if you really believe that God wants to harvest and it's ripe, it's ready for the picking, and He wants you to be a part of that, that's big. And then you'll start praying, oh Lord, send people into the harvest. And then you know what He says in verse 3? He says, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Go your way. In other words, when He sends out the 70 and they go two by two, they're going to do the harvest that is the Lord's harvest that's already prepared. He says, look, you think it's going to be easy? Now, if I could draw a wolf, I would. But if y'all saw my wolf, you wouldn't remember the rest of the story. Okay? And so therefore, He's sending you out as lambs. Now, a lamb is innocent. But wolves are out to eat you alive. And if you think that the wolves are going to eat you alive, how many of you are going to go out there in the field? Oh no, now. Wolves are out there. I don't send somebody else out, exactly right. So if you send somebody else, let them get gnawed. But wait a minute. The harvest is never going to get unless we do the going. And so He says right there, go your way. Behold, I send you as lambs. Now listen to this though. He says, carry neither money bag nor knapsack or sandals, and greet no one along the way. This is urgent. Don't get out there and get sidetracked. Don't go out there and start talking about Obamacare, Sunday school class. And all of a sudden we get sidetracked along the way. This is so urgent that you guys, I got you a job. I want you to go, and I want you to go to the field, and I want you to start reaping because it's ready. So that's what he did. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to that house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. And if not, we'll return you. Hey, so what does he do? And he says, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. But I like this next verse. It says, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. Go, and he tells you, find a house of peace. Hey, what are we looking for? 40 days of community. We're looking for a house of peace. And so therefore, when you go into this house of peace, you go there, and whatever they put before you, you do what? You eat it. Now, Brandy, do you know anything about barbecue sauce? And so we learned a little bit of something about barbecue sauce yesterday. Should I go into details, Michael? Okay, we won't go into details. But what we did learn, whatever they fix, you eat it. It's kind of like, don't ask, don't tell. Whatever it is, you eat it when it's put before you, and you stay there in that house of peace because something I want you to do there. He goes on to say, and he says, whatever city you enter, you eat these things. Now, here's what you do. Two things, I want you to do something, okay? He says, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. I want you to do something. You know what? When I think about the harvest, then first of all, I want you to be something. What I want you to be, I want you to be very faithful. I want you to go into the house, and I want you to stay at that house, and I want you to eat whatever they put on the table, because a laborer is worthy of his heart. I want you to be something. But not only do I want you to be something, but I want you to do something. What? Do something, absolutely. Go in and heal the sick. Now, when God sends you out, He's not just sending you out for your good looks. He's not just sending you out to get your belly full. He's sending you out so that you might be His witness. You're one of the 70. There's 70 reasons here. He wants you to do something. I want you to heal. I want you to take care of the needs where you go. Now, healing comes in many different fashions. There's emotional needs. There's physical needs. There's psychological needs. There's all kind of needs. So therefore, when you go into a community, something is not exactly right. I want you to help make those things right. I want you not only to be a witness, I want you to do something. Now, when you do this, though, something else begins to happen. He says, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So be something, do something, and He also wants you to say something. Say something. You know what? I've learned that if you'll give people the opportunity and the time, they'll say something. I've had the best fun the last two Saturdays. I've heard Colin talk more on the last two Saturdays than I have in 5 years. This guy's wound up, and he's got a lot to say. You do, Colin. A lot. That boy's got a lot going on between those 2 ears, and I do appreciate it. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot to do. And so therefore, when you go out and you have the small group and you enter into community life, don't only just be there. Do something. Don't only just do something. Say something. People need to know that the kingdom of God is near. People need to know heaven is near. That's what God's telling you. What, it's so near? Sure it is. How close is it? How close is it? Benny, how close is it?
Close.
It's close, isn't it? We got a message to tell folks. It's close. Now, whether it's by the bell of for the trumpet sounding, we're raptured, or whether it's by the death toll for your life, it's close to all of us. So we need to be something. We need to do something. We need to say something. And when you go there, in verse 10 he says, but whatever city you enter in and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of the city will cling to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah in that city. Woe to Chazarin! Woe to Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, and would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, but it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, our exalted heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who has an ear, he hears me. Now wait a minute. You know what? There's two things. Two things I want you to hear. What are they saying? Number one, they're talking about a witness. What is that witness? That witness is the kingdom of heaven is near. Do you believe that? Or is that a figment of your imagination? Do you believe that? That Jesus Christ is coming? Do you believe that He's really just around? Do you believe that He wants us to harvest? But not only did they talk about a witness, but folks, they also gave a warning. There was a warning inside of this. And that warning is, look, the witness is this. The kingdom is near, but if you don't accept the words of the kingdom, let me tell you, there is another day coming. And I point out these cities for you. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's real. It's really real. So two things that you want to fall very close to. But I also want you to see something right here. He says, verse 16 says, he who hears me, he who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. When you go and you say something, You have a witness and a warning. If they reject, are they rejecting you? See, that's one of the problems that a lot of us have, that we feel like, well, I don't know what to say. We feel like, well, I'll mess it up. We feel like, well, they won't listen. We feel like, all the time the Lord said, what about the fruit? Man, it's ready. So all you do is you be something, you do something, you say something, you become this witness, and look, if they listen, they're blessed. If they reject what you have, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. And who sent Jesus? They're rejecting the Father. Wow. Are you ready? You want some excitement? Not only did He want you to be something, do something, say something, but He also wants you to experience. He wants you to experience something. In the next 40 days... I can't hardly wait, Roxanne, because in the next 40 days, some of you in this congregation are going to experience the wow moment. Y'all know what the wow moment is? The wow moment is when you see God show up and God allowed you to be a part of it. He wants you to experience something. We're not just talking about talk. Because you see, we're going to be meeting together. And every one of those five groups, you know what they're going to do? Every one of them is going to have a mission off the church campus and going to go out and do something for somebody else. And God is going to have some wow moments in some of these. Maybe not all of them, but in many of them. Wow. When's the last time you had a wow moment? When's the last time you got wild? When's the last time you got awesomely struck? When's the last time you could kick up the dust and smile and run and shout and act like you're as old as Jim? I mean, you know, just wild. When's the last time that you really just, I mean, you know what? We can sit all day long. We can come into this auditorium and we can sit here and we can sing and we can praise and we can clap our hands. And we can experience God. But I'm talking about wow. Man, I trust that every service that you at least have one wow moment in every service. Hey, by the way, I figured out something this morning. I know where Brother Michael got all of his talent. I did. While I was watching Morgan up here singing, Mr. Ravis' toe was doing this. So I know we got all of his ability now. His toe was just keeping time. And so therefore, it's just a chip off the old block. And so you know what? When we look, God wants us to have the wow. Now, you may begin to say, how is this really going to happen? Verse 17 kicks in. When verse 17 kicks in, folks, that's where the wows really begin to take place. And so I want you to see something, because we're going to learn. And let me, in verse 17, the scripture says, then the 70, I got to move that away. I got to see the whites of the eyes. Can't move till you see the whites of their eyes. Now I can see you, brother. I got you. He's wide awake. Okay. All right. We're looking at this now. The scripture says in verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, here's the experience that they had. Lord, even the demons are subject to us by your name. Whoa, man, you're talking about going into the battlefront. The 70 went out there on the front line and they faced off with the enemy. And guess who came down? The demons went down. The devil went down. Down. You see, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And so these guys came back all excited. And he said to them in verse 18, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Wouldn't you want to see Satan go down? Folks, I don't want to only see Satan go down. I want to kick him. Okay? And Jesus said, he saw Satan, who's been giving every one of us in here fits. He saw him go down like lightning. Boy, They had an experience. And so they got all pumped up. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus cut through the chase. And Jesus knows, like, if you went out this week and you cast out a couple of demons, you'd come back next week and you'd say, man, I'm so excited. Look at what Jesus has done, man. This is neat. Man, you ought to go out. You ought to try. You ought to experience this. And if Jesus heard you talking, you know what He'd tell to you? He'd say, you're missing something. See, you're going to have the wow. But what is going to sustain the wow? And this is what Jesus said. Verse 19, He says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You with me? When you go out, Jesus is going to be with you. You remember He's sending you out like lambs among the wolves? Who's going to hurt you? They're not going to get you. You're going to have authority. You're going to have power. You're going to have the wow moments. But He says, that's not really what it's all about. And then He brings in the kicker. He says, verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Yes. Wait a minute. Which is more exciting? The wow or the realization? Your name is written in heaven. Which would bring more glory from your lips? The casting out of demons? Or your name is written in heaven? The healing of the sick? And watching that lame man walk? Or your name is written in heaven? The blind guy seeing? The dead being raised? Overcoming drugs? Overcoming pornography? Well, which is going to bring the wow in you? Jesus said, the wow is this. Your name is written in heaven. He wants you to be something. He wants you to do something. He wants you to say something. He wants you to experience something. But it all comes down to this. Hey, it's time for us to start doing some rejoicing around here. We need to rejoice because your name, my name, is written in heaven. Now, let me just carry you on this fast journey. See, you can impact the community. Slide one, guys. You can impact the community. And how is this thing going to really work? Impact. Do you really believe that you as an individual can make a difference in your sphere? Did you know what? Every one of you has at least 70 to 75 people that you have strong influence with. You do. Can you impact your world? Secondly, we look upon this. How am I going to impact the world? When your name is written in heaven, you have the ability to change things around you because your name is written. But look at the scope of this. The scope of this says, man, God's creation. Think about the sun. How far are we from the sun? 93 million miles. How far is it from the sun out to Neptune? 2.8 billion miles. Johnny Bo, how far is that?
Long way.
That's a long ways. And you know what? Guess when you look at the scope about this, you begin to see God put it all together for His glory. But then His plan is His people. And this is what it is. Think about the plan. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is His scope. 93 million miles away, God said, this is how I put it all together. But then look at that. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray ye, Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into whose harvest?" His harvest. Are you praying about people going? Maybe somebody's praying about you. You in the harvest. And so, looking along this way, we see, how can we do this? And the reason why is because there's one Lord. One Lord. There's also, and that's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. There's one Lord. Secondly, there's one faith. Thirdly, there is one baptism. You see, we serve a risen Savior. And there's only one way to heaven. There's only forsaking all others. I take Him. And then there's one baptism. We share in His life. We share in His death. And therefore we are immersed into His Spirit. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Listen, folks, we are filled. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. But my question is, why are we so different? Why are we so different? In other words, when we begin to look, we see that the reason we're so different is because many of us wear colored lenses. We have separate agendas. All we see is the adult ministry. All we see is the youth ministry. All we see is the children ministry. And it looks as though our life is colored by these different shades, but there's something that's far bigger than this. And when we understand this, what's going to bring us together, what we need to do, let us remove the filters. Let us join into one accord. Let's be like the early church. Let's join together as the body of Christ. When that happens, we understand something. We understand that Christ lived and Christ died and Christ rose again for the church. We understand that the church, we are not the problem. Church, we are the solution to the problems of the world. It's not the government that is going to change society. It is the church. And you, where are you? What's right in the middle of the church? What's the middle two letters? You are. You're right in the middle. You are the solution to the problems that are existing in this world. And how does all of this fit together? Because what makes us one body, what brings us together for one common purpose and to reach one common goal, what does that? It is one God. It is one God. And the Scripture says, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. You see, that's the reason why you can literally change your world. That's the reason why you can affect 75 people directly. One Lord. He's above all. He's in all. He's through all. And think about what He's doing here. The form, if you want to kind of characterize and see what it looks like, the form, you see the sun out there. The sun is a perfect a circle right there. That's the form. That's the Father. And the Father is above all. You capture the form, but then there's something more there. You see the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And because He's the light, He penetrates through all. And then when you walk out and the sun's shining and you feel the warmth, you feel it. That's the Holy Spirit. You literally feel Jesus. Folks, when we start talking about the wow, we're talking about feeling Jesus. We're talking about feeling the Holy Spirit. We're talking about God doing something so magnificent, so wonderful. And so therefore we look how this works together, but we ask ourselves, what is the purpose of the church? When you think about it, the church is all about Jesus. He's the Son, S-O-N. And coming out of the church, there's what? What is the purpose? There's evangelism. There is discipleship. There's what? There's worship. There's fellowship. There's missions. These things are coming out because all of a sudden now we begin to recognize who we are and why we're supposed to be here. And when this occurs, evangelism, the church impact. You see, evangelism, the Scripture says in Matthew 28:19-20, He says, make disciples. As you are going, make disciples. But not only do that, He says, baptize them. And so therefore in discipleship, we want to worship, we want to disciple, we want to teach. So therefore, we worship, we disciple, we teach all. And then He says, go you therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you. Always. Always. You see, fellowship, Jesus says, I'm with you. I'm with you. We want to have fellowship one with another. And how long? He's always, even to the end of the ages. So therefore, your own missions. Your missions to feed people. Your mission to clothe people. Your mission to heal the sick. Your mission to bring in strangers. Your mission to visit those in the hospital. Your mission to visit the widows and help the orphans. Your mission. Your mission to visit those who are in prison. Hey, your missions. The church. That's where the fruit, that's where the wild comes in. All of a sudden now we begin to capture this and we begin to understand this because that fellowship really brings us all together. But one question is, how does your area of ministry impact the whole? In other words, if I were to ask you, Brother Michael, how does the music affect the church? If I would say to you, Ms. Donna, how does the children affect the church? If I were to say to you, Ms. Wendy, how does the preschooler, how does it affect the church? If I were to say to our youth leaders, wherever you are, how does it affect the church? What's your contribution? Because see, this is what happens. In that contribution, each one contributes. Each one of us. Each group contributes. And if you think about it, it's a little... Every one of those are contributing a little. But when you bring all the contributions, you know what it makes up? The church. The church. Next slide, the church, guys. And if you think about the church, it's kind of amazing to me. You can see a lot of these things are off. It worked perfectly at home, but it's not working perfectly here. It's the church. You see? All of us banding together can impact our society. So therefore, as we think about the church making that contribution, what we don't need to see is the next slide. The next slide talking about individual orbits. On the individual, when we go off on solos, we feel like that our own area is the only area, and don't get in my way because I'm on the path. And if we put the youth on their path, and if we put the adults on their path, and if we put the children on their path, then what it looks like? It looks like, next slide, it looks like that we are not really connecting to the church. It looks like we're doing our own thing. But what needs to happen is for all of these things to be part of the church. It's not the youth here. It's not the adults there. It's not the children there. It's not the preschooler there. It is the church. Next slide, guys, in which all of this goes together. It is evangelism. All of these components there make up the church. So that when you see the youth, you ought to see evangelism. When you see the children, you ought to see discipleship. When you see the adults, you ought to see worship. When you see food closet, you ought to see missions. It's all part of one. It is part of the church. And the church is the one that Jesus Christ died for. And it's the church is the one that the gates of hell are not going to prevail. It is the church, folks. And so much of our society is trying to disconnect anything that lifts up the church. You want the wow. You come together. And it all comes a part of this. So we look, when this becomes part, the next slide, let us impact our world. And how are we going to impact our world? It's when we put all the purposes together. But we need to keep something in focus right here. Keep these things in perspective. Do you notice the size of the sun right here? Jesus is the light of the world. Now, how big is the earth compared to the sun? Renee, can you see that little dot up there? That's not a speck. That's not a fly. That's the earth. Isn't that amazing? The size of the earth compared to the sun? That's the same relation as us compared to Jesus. How big is Jesus? Jesus is huge. And so therefore, when we keep this in perspective, we're going to ask ourselves, what moves us to impact our world? And that's where I want to conclude with Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, where it says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven." Boy, I want to get excited. You know what? I'd even like to hear an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I tell you what, we had to go for that one, didn't we? All right. Is your name written up in glory? Yeah, there's a new song. My name is written. Take that. Take that for just a moment. Let's go through that word. Look at that. First of all, he says rejoice. Now, when we start talking about rejoicing, this is a verb. It's showing action. It means full of cheer. And so therefore, we need to have some passion going along here. We need to have some excitement going along here. You need to be in a state of rejoicing. And you might say, wait a minute, I ain't got nothing to rejoice about. Have you seen my bank account? Well, okay, no, I haven't seen your bank account. But I have seen Jesus. And I know heaven is a real place for real people who are prepared. So we need to rejoice. Rejoice that. That defines the purpose with heavenly content. You have a great reason to rejoice. You have purpose in your life. Rejoice that what? Your name. That defines the purpose with a heavenly content. You have a great reason because your name is written in heaven. You have been personally singled out from the beginning of the world, and Jesus knows you by name. In fact, He's also going to give you a name nobody else knows. Your name is written in heaven. Folks, you ought to get excited about that. Because when your name is written in heaven, that's your personality. You're there. It says that your name, your name is written in heaven. You are personally known in the presence of the Creator. So that when you get there, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus say, here comes Dawn. How you doing today, Dawn? Your name. It's written there. He knows you personally. Denny, I didn't think you'd ever get here. No. And then His name is written there. He's there. It's personal. Your name is written. Your citizenship is secured. The record is there. The record is. In other words, there's present result occurring right now. Your name is written. Not might be written. Not shall be written. But Jesus says, your name is written in heaven. Amen. Oh, look at Him. And it says, your name is written. In other words, the action has been taken. The record is sealed. The permanentness up there. It's there. Man, I don't have to worry. I need to get out and start picking fruit. I need to get out in the harvest because my name's there. My name's there. And you know where it's being kept? It's in. Notice in. Listen, folks, your name written in heaven. The record is held in heaven. The record is kept. You're positioned there. And finally, He says, your name is written in heaven. Our new home. Our new home. is waiting. There's a place. It's there. It's there. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Get out and shout about it. Be something. Do something. Say something. Experience something. Rejoice. Because your name is written, Christy, in heaven. Wow. Let's pray. Father, my name is written in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, there's a lot of people whose names are written in heaven. We're going to get excited, Lord. We may not change Washington, but our life's been changed. We may not change Columbus, Mississippi, but our life's been changed. We may, everyone that we talk to may not be born again, but our life has changed. We're going to see the wow. We're going to be, we're going to do, we're going to say, we're going to experience. These next 40 days, God, it is all over us. And if we don't do anything for the next 40 days but rejoice, you're going to say, amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rejoice, okay? Let's rejoice. Let's sing, guys. Let's rejoice. It's time now to sing. If you don't know Jesus, man, I want you to meet Him today. He's ready. He's ready for you. He wants to write your name in heaven, in a real place, the real Savior. And He also wants you to go out and gather the fruit. He does. Man, He wants you to be happy. He does. He wants you to rejoice.
I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like. Singing, there is none, and there is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. And I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. Sing it out. There is none like You. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. Sing it if you mean it this morning. Again, close your eyes this time and just think like this. There is none like You. No one else. No one else can touch my heart like You do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. I can search. Search for all eternity long and find there is none like You.
Lord Jesus, there is none like You. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ rejoices today because of You, Lord. And we rejoice today because You're going to call out of this group of people right here, people to go out into the harvest and just start reaping right and left. Oh Lord, you send us out as lambs in the midst of wolves, but you protect us. You give us the authority and the power, even over the demonic world. Lord, you're going to protect us. And God, we're going to celebrate because our name is written in heaven. The day, Lord, we rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get